for their evening shifts at 9 o'clock this evening. But they refuse to speculate how the unions will react if the drivers cannot get their jobs back now that replacement drivers have been hired. For WBAI News, I'm Julie Cohen at the New York Newspaper Guild.
And that's some of the news for Thursday, October 25th, 1990. The news was engineered by Anthony Sloan. It was produced with Julie Cohen, Devika Dayal, Alan Lipke, David Miller, and Nadine Michelle Shaw. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Don Rush in Washington for WBAI listener-supported news. And don't forget, if you pledge support during the fall membership drive, please honor those pledges.
Come on, everybody. Let's care. El Pusca.
Join the Midnight Ravers on Friday, November 2nd at midnight for 3 hours of ska, 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 Jamaican ska.
Ska, Jamaica's first international popular music, came into its own in the early 60s. It is the forerunner of rock steady and reggae, and it has recently been experiencing a revival in Europe, Japan, and North America.
On Friday, November 2nd, the Midnight Ravers will feature the Scatolite, Stranger Cole, Carlos Malcolm, Don Drummond, and many other artists who have contributed to the song called Ska.
That's Friday, November 2nd at midnight with the Midnight Ravers on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Ska, 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 Jamaican ska.
Catch the Midnight Ravers where every show is a special.
And that's coming up in almost exactly 1 week and 1 day from now. Well, good evening. The program is Investigations. It's Emmanuel Goldstein filling in for Andrew Phillips tonight. And we'll be asking the philosophical question, just how open-minded and tolerant are the American public anyway? Some of the things you'll hear in the next hour and 15 minutes are things that maybe the average person would go crazy hearing. Test yourself. See if you go crazy, and if you don't, maybe you'll survive to call in later on. It's WBAI New York. You never know what you're going to hear next.
What's up with the star? What's up with the star? Don't run an eye at him or reverse. Stick it up. Don't move a muscle. Balang balang. Bang da da ding. Bang wa da dang. Come on. Bad boy style. But I want no bad boy style. Bad boy style. But I like it. Bad boy style. The road. Bad boy style, but I want no bad boy style. Bad boy style, but I want no bad boy style. School them fists, them thick and chashy. But if them on them silk shirt, well dirty. Come on, this your dance, come chop them body. You know that we have top security. Moving down the road, just the other day. A Babylon come to me and what him say. Trouble for them stand up and set principle. Have them fight up.
respect the soldier and the policeman. Don't even mention the civilian. Nurse, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. Because bad boy style, but I want no bad boy style. Bad boy style, but I want no bad boy style. But if you're bad, we no ramp. All the soldier them, no park camp. Run your junk to gully, valley and swamp. Anywhere you go, your body have to come. Can't take a lift from the SLR. Because not the community reach you from far. And don't even mention the M16. That will tear off your shoulder clean. Bad boy style, but I want no bad boy style. Bad boy style, but I want no bad boy style. Hey Tony, you with Clegg and Mr. Ford. Better take care of the road. Don't buy a car for than your child of food.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. And once again, here is Joe Adamoff to answer your questions. The first one is from Daniel Lula of Mahopac, New York. Why don't you have a report in one of your broadcasts dealing with the terrible slaughter of elderly handicapped Armenians by Azerbaijani mobs?
I remember in one of our main national news programs, we did have a report that some Armenian women from a senior citizen's home were slaughtered. Well, you see, my personal opinion is that the question as to whom Nagorno-Karabakh, the disputed area, should belong to, could have been settled 2 years ago by our central government. Today, 85% of the population there are Armenians. And when Stalin unilaterally handed the enclave over to Azerbaijan, 95% of the population were Armenians. The Soviet of the region, the supreme local government body, voted unanimously to join Armenia. Now, the official stumbling block is that according to the Constitution, they need the consent of Azerbaijan. Of course, Azerbaijan will never give its consent. We've amended the Constitution many times, so why not amend it one more time? Incidentally, the Izvestia on September 12th published a dialogue between two women, an Azerbaijan woman teacher and an Armenian woman teacher. The Azerbaijan teacher quoted a case when Armenian militants fired on a bus and four people were killed and many wounded. And she repeated many times that Armenia now has what she calls an army, which will not lay down its arms. You see, to be quite fair, after the pogroms and murders of Armenians in Baku, which is capital of Azerbaijan, no one has yet been tried and sentenced, as far as I know. Besides the tens of thousands of not only Armenian but Russian refugees who were forced to flee from Baku. And now listen to what the Armenian teacher had to say. She's a refugee from Baku. On January 13th, her mother, father, and 90-year-old grandfather, who's totally paralyzed, were slaughtered by a mob. When the earthquake shook Armenia and the world reacted to help that little republic, a torchlight procession was held in Baku to celebrate the event. The Armenian teacher's parents tried to hide the paralyzed granddad in a neighbor's apartment. A woman appeared in the house opposite and screamed to the mob, "Here they are, trying to hide. Kill them." And the mob did just that. When the Armenians in Baku appealed to the Soviet soldiers, this is all in the same article, for help, they said, "We have orders not to interfere." In conclusion, the Armenian teacher said she will always remember an Azerbaijani woman in the crowd who raised four fingers, saying she has four sons, and she will sacrifice them all so that all the damned infidels, meaning the Armenians, should be killed. Yes, of course, the Armenians are Christian, the Azerbaijanis are Muslim, but there's absolutely no reason why the problem cannot be solved peacefully. It's still not too late.
A question from David Callender of Richmond, Kentucky. What do you think of the sentence, "Do unto others as you would have done unto you"?
I think it's a very good quotation. It's from the Sermon on the Mount, if I remember correctly, the Gospel of Matthew. The quotation could be applied to those who engage in violence anywhere in the world, including Hussein's aggression against Kuwait. I'll quote some more from the Gospel of Matthew. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. This applies, in my opinion, to the Security Council. Or, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think this applies excellently to Andrei Sakharov, our staunch fighter for human rights. Or, thou shalt not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment.
Next, a couple of questions from George Vieira, New York, New York. Exactly what part of the USSR is called Russia?
It's the biggest of the 15 republics, stretching all the way from the Pacific to the Baltic. It's about 5,500 miles long. Its population is 147 million, which is about half the population of the whole country. 83% of the people living in Russia are Russians. Russia, incidentally, has declared its sovereignty. But what is interesting is that even on Russian territory proper, there are very many nationalities. Writers in Russia proper write in 50 different languages. Its parliament, if you read your papers daily, is headed by Boris Yeltsin, who's noted for his progressive stand to reform our economy.
George asks, how much is the Russian ruble compared with the U.S. dollar?
A ruble is $1.80, according to the latest rate of exchange, or if you work it the other way around, $1 is 56 kopecks. But according to the rate which tourists get, they get 6 rubles per dollar. Now, on the black market, a dollar is worth, they say, 20 rubles and more. You see, it depends what commodity you compare it to. Now, if a dollar is 20 rubles, that means I pay 90 cents a month for 3 rooms and a kitchen in the way of rent. But if you take, say, the cost of a business computer here and in the United States, well, the black market rate then makes sense. Or I'll give you another example. Take an average pair of shoes here in the Soviet Union, if you can get one. 60 rubles. Does that mean that it costs $3? So you see, it's not that easy.
Christopher Taber of Kensington, Connecticut, is there any concern in the Soviet government about the rising fundamentalism spreading into the Muslim areas of the Soviet Union?
You know, I'd say there's a general upsurge of religion in general, both Christian and Muslim. In Uzbekistan, in Central Asia, in the past 2 years, 300 new mosques have been opened. Or take another Muslim republic, Dagestan, that's in the Caucasus. Until last year, they had 17 mosques. Today, there are 137. A prestigious magazine here carried an article which said that at the root of some of the pogroms and violence are terrorists who are against perestroika. In other words, they're against our economic reforms. And the magazine wrote that sometimes anti-Sovietism is camouflaged as a religious action. I think it's safe to say that Islam today has become no less a political movement than a religion. The basis of Islamic fundamentalism is that they want Islamic religious leaders to run the various countries, like in Iran, for instance. That is what's at the root of fundamentalism.
Christopher asks, is there a feeling that the Soviet Central Asian republics may press for freedom from the Union, just like Lithuania did?
Well, the only two Muslim republics that have declared their sovereignty are Uzbekistan and Azerbaijan. Uzbekistan declared that the laws passed by the National Parliament in Moscow are not valid unless they're ratified by the Uzbek Parliament. But there is no talk about their having their own army, their own customs, that is, border customs, currency, and so on, as some republics have declared. And yes, I know there are forces in Azerbaijan who want to secede. There are. But you see, to declare independence, for instance, in Uzbekistan, is to a very great extent a utopia. You may ask why? Because They have no economic independence. They just wouldn't be able to stand on their feet. They must first raise their national incomes, and they must raise their living standards, and only then can they talk about actual independence and sovereignty.
Paul Blanchard of Rochester, New York, says the Soviet cosmonauts on the space station Mir have been heard using amateur radio to communicate with hams all over the world, and asks what frequencies and how much power output do they use.
You see, at present, the space station Mir is not contacting amateurs. When they had three men on board, they could spare some time for this, but not now, when there are only two men on board, you see. What frequencies? 144 to 146 megahertz in the 2-meter amateur band. Their power, from 200 to 250 watts. Incidentally, they had tens of thousands of QSOs. They may resume this activity, but for the time being, they're not doing it. I'm afraid they're just a bit too busy.
Paul is also interested how high up is the space station Mir and how long does it take to complete one orbit.
You see, the orbit is slightly elongated, so the average distance from the Earth is roughly 256 miles.
Ricky Watermolen, Orlando, Florida, asks, do you have any rock groups? If so, could you name some?
Well, there's so many, really, that it's even hard to think of them all. There are thousands of them. Flip on any television channel in Moscow and you hear rock. Too much of it for my taste. But many like it, so there it goes. You want me to name some? Well, I don't know whether I'm naming the best ones, but those that I can remember. There was a festival here last year. There were such groups as Nuance, Brigada S, Gorky Park. We had festival groups from Federal Germany, the United States, the Soviet Union, and England, and they all sang the famous Beatles song, Back in the USSR. Well, what other groups can I mention? I remember the Time Machine, Resurrection, Myths, that's from Leningrad, or Cement from Riga. And today we hold monthly rock festivals, rock concerts, rock contests, what have you. But if you want to listen to some Soviet rock, listen to our regular program called Vasily's Weekend. It is a rock show.
Once again, David Callender from Richmond, Kentucky, who asks, how does the USSR feel toward Glasnost?
You know, most people in opinion polls vote for Glasnost or openness. Some say there's too much criticism. There's a tendency to criticize everything and anything, from Mr. Gorbachev to the district administration, from foreign policy to home policy, from lack of goods in the stores to growth of crime. My opinion is that any civilized society can exist only if it enjoys freedom of expression. Of course, freedom of expression is only one pillar of a free society. At least we've attained that. I've mentioned before that among the most popular shows on television are the live telecasts of the goings-on in our parliament, you know. I catch myself watching these shows. You see the extreme left, the extreme right, the progressives, the old guard. Some are very smart and very to the point. Others are not worthy of a speech in parliament, in my opinion. We've got to learn, you know, the ethics of parliamentary debates and parliamentary behavior. But to a certain degree, I think it's understandable because our parliament is only in its infancy. You know, speaking of openness, open any Soviet paper. And if a man only 5 years ago, if he'd heard what's written in our papers today, would have said one word, wow.
How do you feel about friendlier relations with the United States, asks David.
Well, how can we feel? We can only welcome them. I think it does one good to see the two most powerful nations standing side by side in the United Nations. It's nice to hear support from Mr. Bush. It's good to know that the Cold War is already past history and that there's more trust between us. But of course, let's be sane. We both face many world problems. I guess the biggest one today is the Persian Gulf. And though the chance of a nuclear war between us two is nil, that is, between the two largest powers, who knows where it might erupt, so we've got to work together to avert this. Naturally, we have other problems, too. The problem of economic ties between our two countries, poverty in the world, ecology, and much more.
And last but not least, Valerie Scott of Oakland, California, who writes, I'm a writer and a mother. My children and I enjoy your programs very much. My younger son, James, wants more than anything to visit the USSR someday. He loves the music and the culture.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Scott. I don't know how old James is, but generally speaking, coming here is no problem. The only thing you need is the money. I'm sure that you and he will visit us someday and see the wonderful sights that this country has to offer. I don't want to sound like a commercial, but do come, and I think the biggest impression that you'll get is not only from the music and the culture and the wonderful museums and historic sites, but the people that you'll be able to meet every single day.
And finally, let's have the wrap-up joke, Joe.
The wrap-up joke. Well, you know, our port of Odessa on the Black Sea is notorious for its satire and humor. After a lecture in Odessa entitled, Is There Life on Mars? The chairman asked if there were any questions to the lecturer. A man in the audience gets up and says, When will we have life here in Odessa?
That was Joe Adamov answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on the show are always welcome. A reminder that Mailbag is on the air every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday.
Now we'll fight your love like lies. We call it New York life, New York life. We call it New York life. Oh no, we live in a Jamaica, but we chat in a. We could not take the agony, come in the night of pressure. Oh no, we get a passport, and no, we get a visa. Oh no, this night time we take American airliner. Oh no, the plane it lift up over the water. Oh no, we slip up the cold tongue, and miss the land America. Oh no, who made me rich if he producer? Oh no, we drive me in a Benz and a Toyota.
Irie here, one of the original rockers, and you're listening to WBAI in New York, where we've just heard the latest edition of Moscow Mailbag. And you know, even here in the hallowed halls of Pacifica Radio in New York, you get a strange look when you tell people that you're going to be playing programs from Moscow. You know, it seems like something strange, something unusual, something almost dangerous. And that's kind of how people view lots of outside things. But it's sort of like what Joe Adamoff was just saying. Once you get to know the people, that's the difference. Once you get to realize that people all over laugh, cry, do all that kind of stuff, it's quite a revelation. What we're asking here in this next 52 minutes or however much time we have left is how much we've advanced in the past couple of years, couple of decades, We've got all kinds of decisions coming out of courtrooms that seem to affirm the First Amendment, that seem to stand up for freedom of speech, diversity, differences in sounds, differences in opinions and ideas. But at the same time, there's this movement to shut us all up, to censor, to confine ideas, ideas that are dangerous. Some people think reggae music is dangerous. Some people think tapes from the Soviet Union are dangerous. What do you think of, let's say, for instance, a song that advocates drug use? Well, this song does. Make sure there aren't any kids listening to this. You never know what might happen.
When I didn't have no money, life was so rough. When I didn't have no money, life was so tough. I couldn't buy a stick of money.
I sure hope Jesse gets a copy of that song somehow. Jesse Helms, that is. Yes, a lot of concern these days over what is in music and what is in art and what people are being exposed to. But I think the common denominator, the thing that comes out of all this is that people are free to choose for themselves. Why are other people so afraid of that? It's hard to... hard to understand. Checking the outcome, which happened on Saturday of the Two Live Crew trial, article from the New York Times this past Monday. As his trial opened in Fort Lauderdale last week, Luther Campbell, the 29-year-old leader of the rap music group Two Live Crew, was anticipating a clash of cultures. He said he thought the six jurors, who included three women over age 60 and only one black person, might be too old, too white, and too middle class to understand his raunchy music. That'd be a good name for a rap record, wouldn't it? Too old, too white, too middle class. I like it. Anyway, the rapper from Miami apparently misjudged the Broward County jurors, who quickly acquitted Mr. Campbell and two other band members of obscenity charges on Saturday. He stereotyped us just as certain people were stereotyping him because of his performance, said David Garso, the 24-year-old jury foreman who works as an office clerk and sings in the choir at the Key Biscayne Presbyterian Church. We were very open. Indeed, the jurors said they saw artistic merit in the rap music, to the point that some of them were trying their own rap lyrics on trips to and from the courtroom. They found much amusement in the trial, too, especially in the prosecution's bungled tape recording of the band's performance. The recording was so bad that one of the prosecutors said that after he heard it, he regarded the trial as a suicide mission. Explaining the verdict, Mr. Garso said the jurors had accepted much of the testimony of Henry Louis Gates, Jr., an American literature professor at Duke University, who testified that the group's lewd lyrics were meant as parody. We agreed with what he said about this being like Archie Bunker making fun of racism, the jury foreman said, but Gates was saying that in order to understand the lyrics, you had to be young and black, and we didn't buy that. Mr. Garso is white and was the youngest juror. If anything, he said, the oldest members of the jury were the most liberal and the most adamant in insisting that the band members should have the freedom to express themselves. Makes you kind of feel good, doesn't it? The oldest ones were the most adamant in that. The jury was sequestered during the trial, and Mr. Garso said that on the way to the hotel each night, Susan Van Hemmert, a 42-year-old assistant middle school principal, would improvise rap songs. She said, I thought it would have been cute if we could have come out with a verdict like we were doing a rap song. Yeah. While Mrs. Van Hemmert and the other jurors said they laughed at the Two Live Crew's lyrics and at the prosecution's continued playing of the garbled tape of the performance that was the only evidence against the band, they said they took seriously the issue of freedom of speech underlying the case. The senior member of the jury, 76-year-old Helena Bailey, said she had admired what another juror, 65-year-old Beverly Resnick, said in their deliberations. She said, and something we say here in BAI all the time, you take away one freedom, and pretty soon they're all gone. Deputies from the Broward County Sheriff's Office had arrested Mr. Campbell and two other band members, Mark Ross and Chris Wangwan, on June 10th after a show at a nightclub in Hollywood, Florida. They had performed four songs from their album, As Nasty As They Want to Be, which a federal judge had declared obscene. By the way, there are a couple of songs on there you can play on the radio, and I would have brought it in, except I left it on the front seat of my car and someone broke in and stole it. Either somebody interested in knowing more about the band or a member of the Thought Police, who knows. Anyway, while the recording of the actual performance was garbled, the jurors did have an opportunity to hear four songs played straight from the album in stereo. It had no impact, Mrs. Resnick said. Those were their songs. They were doing their poetry in song. Lyrics to many songs on the album consist almost solely of relentlessly coarse accounts of the singer's lusts and sexual adventures. Typically, the singer brags about the physical power of his penis, refers to a woman in terms of her genitalia, and commands the woman, usually addressed as bitch, to gratify his various sexual desires. And 2 weeks ago, another Broward County jury convicted a Fort Lauderdale record store owner of obscenity charges for selling the album. So we have a bit of a contradiction. And that's Black Slate fading off into the distance there with their song Legalize Cali Herb. And we're sort of delving into things tonight that might upset people, you know. But not stepping over lines that have been drawn in the sand for many, many years now. We're talking about ideas. We're talking about things that have always been held as something precious in this country, something which for some reason is being targeted as fair game, something that can be controlled, manipulated, and censored. And I find that the average person in the street, people like the Broward County jury, for instance, they understand the importance of freedom of speech and not to have censorship and to allow people to choose for themselves. But the people that cannot understand it are the ones that are in power. Why is that? Does anybody know? I'd sure like to know. Our telephone number here is 279-3400, area code 212. We'll be taking calls in a few minutes on this subject and related subjects, too. For some reason, though, almost every kind of music at some point is targeted. Remember back in the 60s, it was rock and roll. Actually, back in the 50s, rock and roll was the great evil. Today we have death metal, speed, thrash music. That's instruments of devil worship as well. Hardcore music, and of course, rap. Why are people so scared of rap? I don't know. And back when this came out, it created a controversy. And now it's looked upon as plain old wimpy. No offense, Grandmaster Flash. And some lyrics that really do mean something. Again, our telephone number, 279-3400. Give us a call.
New York, New York, big city of dreams. And everything in New York ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled if you come from out of town, but I'm down by law and I know my way around. Too much, too many people, too much. Too much, too many people, too much. A castle in the sky, 1 mile high, built to shelter the rich and greedy. Rows of eyes disguised as windows, looking down on the poor and the needy. Miles of people marching up the avenue, doing what they gotta do just to get by. I'm living in a land of plenty and many, but I'm damn sure poor, and I don't know why. Too much, too many people, too much. Too much, too many people, too much.
A man's on a ledge, says he's gonna jump. People gather around, said he won't, he's just a chump. Cause he lost his job, then he got robbed. His mortgage is due and his marriage is through. He says he ain't gonna pay no child support because the bitch left him without a second thought. He got nothing to eat, no shoes on his feet. She even left his clothes out in the street. He keeps hearing noises when he's at home. He always hears voices when he's all alone. His wife took the kids, the car, and the crib. In this man's world, so much for women's lib. New York, New York, big city of dreams. But everything in New York ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled if you come from out of town, but I'm down by law and I know my way around. Down in the village, you might think I'm silly, but you can't tell the women from the men sometimes. They are sugar and spice and everything nice, but when you get them home, ain't no telling what you find. Right next door is a little old man. I've seen him eating dog food out of a can. He says, I got to eat when I can't afford meat. I barely can stand on my own 2 feet. I got a bad habit and I just can't break it. Something's on my mind and I just can't shake it. I need some time and I want some space. I gotta get away from the human race.
Too much, too many people, too much. Too much, too many people, too much. Staring at the skyscraper, reaching into heaven, when over in the ghetto I'm living in hell. Just play ball or be an entertainer, cause niggas like me can't read too well. Nobody loves me, nobody cares. I dream about a life, but I'm living in a nightmare. Paranoid, schizo, setback, snowbound, bad news, psycho, heart attack, breakdown! If only I could see just 10 more minutes, I might find the strength to make another day. If I didn't have to get up and do my thing, I would probably sleep my whole life away. I messed up a 19, something about ice cream, whipped cream, fruits, and
the cherry on top. Now I gotta get up and face the world, huh? The pressure is on, it ain't never gonna stop. I sure gotta learn to use my mind. I don't wanna be kissing nobody's behind. Just standing online looking like a jerk. Gotta get off my butt and do a full day's work. I ran into a pothole, got into a car crash. Should have been thinking to try to fake whiplash. A crowd gathered round, they calling me fat. Who you looking at with a face like that? New York, New York, big city of dreams. Everything in New York ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled if you come from out of town, but I'm down by lawn, I know my way around. On 42nd Street, looking for some action. Women standing on the corner selling satisfaction. One young punk just leaning on the fence, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. Really is a prankster, try to be a gangster. Real big wheel when a gun is in his hand. Just did a stick up, just got picked up. One dead punk killed by the man. New York, New York, big city of dreams. And everything in New York ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled if you come from out of town, but I'm down by lawn, I know my way around. Too much. Too many people, too much. Too much. Too many people, too much. Huh, a baby cries and a mother dies, and the tears fall from the doctor's eyes. Because in this room, on this day, the good Lord has given and taketh away. Huh, the gift of life really means a lot, and in the ghetto, your life is all you've got. So you take to the streets, trying to exist in the trash and slime of a world like this. What you watch on TV tells you what life is supposed to be. But when you look outside, the only thing you see is a poverty-stricken reality. Abandoned places, angry faces, much hate and hunger throughout the races. You say I'm grown and I'm on my own, so why don't everybody just leave me alone? Now you stay at home, talking on the phone, doing 90 miles an hour in the 50-mile zone. They never took the time to tell you about sex, so you had to learn about it in the discotheque. 9 months later, the baby is there, and the nigga that did it said, I don't care, you don't have enough money to help me too, so you have to choose between the baby and you. The sky was crying, rain and hail, when you put your baby in the garbage pail. Then you kissed the kid and put down the lid, and you tried to forget what you just did. The muffled screams of a dying baby was enough to drive the young mother crazy, so she ran in the rain trying to ease the pain, and she drove herself insane.
New York, New York, big city of dreams, but everything in New York ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled if you come from out of town, but I'm down by law and I know my way around.
Too much, too many people, too much. Too much, too many people, too.
Hey, yo, man, what's up?
Hey, man, watch out.
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 Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man, watch out. Hey, man,
Grandmaster Flash and a song straight from the heart, New York, New York. I remember when that came out, it must have been early 80s, I don't know. People heard it and they said, wow, how can you play that kind of stuff? It's so controversial. I mean, the things he's saying are so, oh, I couldn't even come up with a word for it. And that's exactly why you have to play things like this. Exactly why you've got to reach out there and try to toggle people's emotions. Make them wake up and see what's right in front of them. If you just go around listening to light radio all the time, you're never really going to think a single thought in your life. 279-3400, we're going to go to the phones in just 1 minute, literally 1 minute. But first, I have to ask you a very important question here. How many other radio stations do you know that would play a Charles Manson song on the air? Okay, if you haven't been affected by anything yet that we've done here tonight, perhaps playing a Charles Manson song is the thing that will move you to actually realize that there's so much controversy out there in the music land, and virtually anything that you can do. Now, this is not Charles Manson singing, okay? We could not get that, unfortunately. This is a gentleman known as Crispin Helian Glover. You might know him as the father in Back to the Future. And he's since gone completely insane and put out this record. Charles Manson song here. And then we'll go to the phones. Quite a moving rendition there. Never Say Never to Always from Crispin Helian Glover, written by Charles Manson. And rounding out our musical selections there for the moment, anyway. Things that you'll never hear on other radio stations, that's for gosh darn sure. 212-279-3400. We have one open line, and we'll go to the phone. As soon as I tell you this one thing that the prosecution and the Two Live Crew said that I thought was rather revealing. They were talking about various jurors, and the prosecution said they wanted to strike the whole panel. We knew we were going to have problems. They were particularly worried about the person we quoted from earlier, Mrs. Bailey. She's the. She wasn't the one that wanted to give the rendition in or the verdict in rap. She wanted to. She was the oldest one, and she was admiring what other people were saying, but she didn't really say anything herself. But the prosecution was particularly worried with her. She hated me, the prosecutor said. I could just feel it. She was extremely liberal. She was a sociologist, and I don't like sociologists. They try to reason things out too much. Now, you got to wonder, you know, this person is prosecuting a case. He thinks, I imagine he thinks, that the person he is prosecuting is guilty. So, when someone is worried that someone is going to reason things out too much, you have to wonder, you know, why are they afraid if somebody reasons things? They just want people there that are going to say, okay, you know, we'll do whatever you say, and we're not going to think about why. That's what I think it boils down to. The defense, on the other hand, was delighted to have Mrs. Bailey on the jury. Mrs. Bailey went to Radcliffe. She was a member of the class of 1936, the defense said. That means she's a groundbreaker to begin with. She's an unusual woman. So I think that sums up where that whole case was going in the first place. And, you know, I was watching, I don't ordinarily watch this program, but Saturday Night Live last week. And they mentioned it, you know. They mentioned the fact that Two Live Crew had been found not guilty, and of course the crowd erupted in cheers. But the person giving the Saturday night newscast said, "Yeah, I know. Wouldn't it be better though? I mean, their album is really terrible. Wouldn't it have been better to go, you know, to go to this battle with you know, Hendrix or you know, Eric Clapton or somebody like that?" And he just missed the entire point, because had they lost this case, you very well could have gone there with Jimi Hendrix or the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, Sympathy for the Devil, or anything else. Because once you start banning music for all these various reasons because of the things that are said on the records, you're opening yourself up to a whole lot of unpleasant prospects. Okay, enough preaching here. 279-3400. Good morning.
Oh, yeah, let me get my radio. Okay. Actually, I wanted to kind of talk to you off the air, but as we're on the air.
Well, you are on the air, so you'll have to talk to me on the air.
That's okay. That's okay. It caught my ear. You were broadcasting that Radio Moscow tape.
Right.
The shuttle mission that was delayed, the STS-35 mission, is supposed to have a Sarex on it, which is Shuttle Amateur Radio Experiment. That's due to go off, I believe, sometime in November.
So it'll probably be launched sometime next year.
And
knowing NASA.
I know it's been, it was originally supposed to go off, I believe, back in September, but it keeps on getting delayed.
Yeah. But do you know frequencies or anything like that?
Not off the top of my head. I could probably get them, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to call you and talk to you off the air. The Mir, in order to contact the Mir, their space station, you do need it. They made it sound pretty easy, but it's really not all that easy.
Well, I don't know how you would get a QSL up there. I don't even know what the address is of Mir space station.
It's
a good question.
Just to get a QSL from a regular ham, from what I've heard, from regular hams in Russia. And another thing on ham, it's interesting. I just happened to glance up at my calendar here, and I noticed that there's an interesting anniversary coming up on November 2nd. November 2nd, 1920, was the first continuous radio broadcast from station 8KX in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Soon to become, don't tell me, wait, KDKA, is that it?
Hey, Howdy, you got it.
All right.
Got it. And he stayed up all night reporting the results of the Harding-Cox election.
This one guy stayed up all night doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Was anybody listening, I wonder?
I don't know. Probably not too many people back then.
Well, why would they have a radio if there weren't any radio stations on?
Well, actually, there were a lot of... telegraph was a mode of communication back then, especially with ships and the like. But they don't say if this was a... And I don't really know if 8KX... Would have been a commercial station or an amateur station actually, but yeah, KDKA is the call letters that they changed to. So I guess maybe it was a commercial station, commercial telegraphy, whatever, was real popular going way back, and that's basically how ships communicated back then. And There's been a few different. There's been a discussion among some friends of mine about where the origins of ham came from, and one train of thought says that it's because HAM were the initials of an operator, I believe, or possibly it might stand for Harvard Amateur Radio Club. They were one of the first amateur radio groups out there, and so HAM might have something to do with them. Another and the more general consensus is that it means ham fist, or that it comes from ham fist, where the commercial operators all felt that the amateur operators were all ham fisted on their telegraph keys on their their Morse code sending.
Let me just try to steer us a little bit closer to what we're talking about on the show tonight. You heard the Radio Moscow broadcast. It's not the kind of thing you ordinarily hear on the radio, but I imagine you probably heard it before on shortwave, correct?
Yeah.
Do you think people will benefit from hearing something like that more frequently on American airwaves?
Yeah, personally, I personally enjoy. I've always enjoyed listening to shortwave radio.
Except for the fact that the reception is usually terrible and you get a headache listening to it.
Well, yes and no. I don't know. I guess I must be lucky because I live out here in New Jersey. So, and it's really not that. I mean, especially like, well, Radio Moscow, they have transmitters in Canada.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so their signal comes in.
Do they really have transmitters in Canada? I wasn't aware of that.
They have like relay stations. transmitters.
Well, I know BBC has transmitters up there, but I figured transmitters in Cuba, perhaps. But
base stations all over the place.
Hmm, interesting.
There's not, I mean, you know, there's not that big of a deal. One interesting thing that's been going on in shortwave radio is that there is no more Radio Berlin International.
Yeah, well, you know, I visited them when I went to East Berlin, and, you know, I finally found them, but what happened? They just...
It's been absorbed by Deutsche Welle.
That's too bad. You know, I figured two stations would be nice to have, you know.
It is, because everybody, the Deutsche Welle is more like the Voice of America, kind of, with a straight, real straight line. On straight line stance on everything, and Radio Berlin International always had a little more of a tangent approach to topics and
well, when you could get them. I always had trouble receiving them. There
stations like those. Now Deutsche Welle is a major broadcaster. Again, there's stations like Radio Moscow, BBC, Radio Netherlands, Deutsche Welle. Well, no, I won't say Radio Cuba, but those four broadcasters, they're really not that hard to get. I mean, it does take a little patience, you know, but you should be able to. Especially the key is having the schedule, is getting a World Radio TV handbook, which is available at most bookstores, and getting the schedule.
Right.
Their English broadcasts. When they're being beamed to North America. You know, I mean, a lot of times you say, well, the reception's horrible. Well, perhaps you were listening to an English broadcast that's being beamed to Australia and you're...
Well, I was just referring to the AM sound quality. You know, here we have it. Here we have a tape here in the studio, and we're able to play it on an FM station, and there's absolutely no, you know, high-pitched whining anywhere, except maybe in the text.
It's coming through on satellite now.
Right, but most of us aren't able to receive that.
No, but I'm saying as a radio station, I'm sure you guys have access.
Oh, sure.
Indeed.
Yeah, we can do that, but there's only so many minutes in a day. Speaking of minutes, I want to get some more calls. Thanks so much for calling and sharing that with us, though.
Oh, listen, is there a way I can contact you off the air?
Best way is to write into the station.
Okay.
Because that's probably the most dependable way.
Okay, well... you don't have a fax number, do you?
Yes. I guess I can get my fax number out over the air. I don't really care. I mean,
is it in the 2600? One of the 2600?
Yeah, it's in the Look it up in the magazine. You'll find it in there.
I'll send you some fax stuff.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. 279-3400. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
How you doing?
Okay. I was calling about the. That whole thing you were talking about, the Two Live Crew.
Uh-huh.
And as a woman of color, I have a completely different view on it. Like when you played, you know, that rap song that you did play, that's something totally different. He could say these things. It was more of dealing with reality. But when you just look, when black women are dealt with as sluts, hoes, and this kind of stuff, that's not dealing with reality. That's not singing with reality. That's putting something totally different out there. And this music is not geared for adults. Adults are not the main ones that are buying this. So this is something that is definitely geared for our youth.
Okay, yeah. I don't think they were put on trial, though, for dealing with reality or anything like that. It's basically... offensive as it is, and I don't think anybody's denying that what they say is offensive, do they have the right to say these offensive things, put it on vinyl and put on shows and do these offensive things? And it's, you know, it's a tough thing to call, but I think, you know, the very basis of the civilization depends on us saying that they do have the right to do it, and we have the right to not listen or not go to the show or not buy the record.
That would be fine if it really ended as that. I can make that decision and say I don't want to, you know, I would never buy it, I would never go to a show. But then if I'm in the community and people are riding by blasting it from their Jeeps, or, you know, when you know, they're single mothers... While you're at work, you don't know whose house your kid can be at. Someone who's liberal and, oh, this music is fine. So it's not a thing like, well, if you don't want it, you won't hear it. Or if you don't want your kids to hear it, they won't hear it. once it's out there for sale, then it is out there and it's a part of people's life.
Exactly. But you see, you don't want to hear this kind of stuff, and there's a reason for that. Now, that reason is not because you're forbidden to hear it, because you have a sense of values and you're able to say, this is not good, this is not something I want to hear. And I'd much rather see people not listen to music for that reason than because they're not allowed to listen to that kind of music. You see?
But to have the sense of values, if other, you know, if we can't say everybody has the sense of values.
Right, but you can't legislate values. You can't tell people these are the values you have to have, and that's just the way it is, and there's no question about it. You know, the values have to be developed. It's something that's part of our upbringing.
It is developed, and this is what helps develop your values, what you hear around you, what you're repeating day after day, what you're hearing, even TV. You know, to say, you know, values aren't something that come these days from parents and the church and that. Values also are developed from what is around you.
I agree completely with you, yes. But you can't make something illegal, you know, and say you can't listen to this and expect that to make the person into a better person.
Well, if something is negative, you know, I mean, like, I think if it was something where it was a little different, perhaps they were singing and specified that these were white women that they were singing about, and, you know, that these white women are my sex objects, or that, you know, these violent things.
Well, you have that with heavy metal, too. You have the almost the exact same thing with heavy metal, different words, different audience. But
that is not as glaring as that.
Well, maybe the words aren't as glaring. Yeah, but you see, if a lot of people are out there listening to this and playing this, I'm more curious as to why they feel the need to do that. I think that's something we have to address. And that's you know, rather than just saying, no, you can't listen to it, I'd like to know why are they listening to it. I think it'll tell us something about society.
Well, I think it's clear because that, you know, especially for women of color, that is the status that's been, you know, bestowed. That's how people look at them anyway, you know. For a long time, this country has looked at them from a sexual thing, something to be used, something to be discarded, to be disrespected. So to have music that just repeats this, it's not hard to, you know, wonder, well, why did this, you know, why did this come out? Or why is it happening? Why is it a phenomenon? But it's interesting that at the same time that we have rap artists like KRS-One, Public Enemy, Biz Markie, people that are doing, you know, trying to do something positive, trying to do uplifting things, trying to do something to, you know, and they do have a big following in the community, that to suddenly promote and push and make, you know, for this thing to be going on, it's really something, you know, that
right.
These artists don't get the play, aren't promoted widely. And yet people are going to jump on the bandwagon to defend something that's just so negative.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
And, yes, there are quite a few good groups out there that are saying positive things, and they're not getting nearly the attention they deserve. Public Enemy, only one of them. But, I don't know, I see it as, you know, a victory for something. I mean, you have the ACLU defending the Klan because the Klan wants to march in Washington, D.C. We just heard this on the news earlier. And, you know, it's a painful thing to have to defend the Klan, but if you're going to say that freedom of expression exists, you know, you've got to defend the scum as well as everybody else. And defending the scum makes it work for everybody else, you know, because then everyone else isn't on the front lines. You see, it's they're always going to go for the most outrageous, the most offensive, but they're not going to stop at the most outrageous and the most offensive. I mean, they wouldn't stop at Mapplethorpe if they were able to prevent his paintings from being shown. Those pictures from being shown, they would go to the next performance artist or whoever they feel is homoerotic or something that's not in the quote-unquote community standards. It just keeps going and going. You have to defend freedom of speech and freedom of expression for everybody, not just people who are good. 212-279-3400. Good morning.
Yeah, Eric, you've... Wait, let me turn the radio down. This last story has a very good point about why are the people into these rap, like bad rap versus good rap, or more progressive rap versus a more regressive or oppressive rap, you know, liberating rap versus repressive rap. And that's what I see. It's like, you know, like you're out there always, I've heard your show a lot, and it's like you're really coming from this, like, the 1984 George Orwell critique of they and, you know, and Big Brother critique, which is, I think, a real important thing, and Big Brother critique is part of it, but that's, I get, Emmanuel, that's your, like, main thrust, and I don't get enough, like, the other part, which is, like, what about, like, call it the contradictions with among the people, you know, like, to use some, you know, outmoded political terminology, but I mean, what this last sister was talking about, that's like the problem that we have, that we have to deal with, and there's the Big Brother, right, that's one aspect of it, but now there's the other stuff, which is that how come some people want, or, you know, want the oppressive rap, and some want the liberating rap, and then one, and then all the different discussions which would fall in that category. That's all I got to say.
Okay, well, thanks for saying it. Good morning. Is anyone there?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I couldn't quite get the Manson meanings, you know, the words, you know, what it said. I guess I'm not too quick.
Well, you have to listen to it at least 67 times.
Yeah, you've had to listen a lot?
Several times backwards, too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to be honest. You see, honesty is another very important category. And I really appreciate what you've been saying about Two Live Crew. Or, you know, it doesn't matter who, but we can't censor, we can't prevent, because we have to taste it to know whether it's bitter or it's sweet, you know. Okay, well, then somebody will say, well, what about, you know, illicit sex or, you know, things like that. And as you say, we have to develop our attitudes, and parents have to be more parents than they've been, by and large, even my own, you know what I mean? We go bumping along and having all kinds of pressures on us, the kids, the peers, and saying, do this, taste that, and so forth. But just in the last day, just on WBAI, if you'll forgive me.
No, I'm not going to forgive. Don't talk about WBAI or the programs. Talk about this program, okay?
I had to say it. The first caller, I wanted to call in and say that's not Monroe. He's not, you know, Monroe is usually accused of diverting the course of events. But I had to cry out for freedom of speech just here on WBAI the last day.
Uh-huh. Well,
today, and you know, the program that preceded you, it had...
All right. Every program you call up and you say something about another program. I mean, you know, if you said something about the program you were on, maybe you'd find yourself saying more. Good morning.
Yes, hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, I just want to go over this, the censorship on the race level.
Okay.
This woman was talking about. All right. First of all, when like Luke from Two Live Crew says that he's getting persecuted because he's a black man, I mean, I listen to like the music that's, you know, metal that's been most persecuted through, you know, through its inception for like the last 20 years. And has, you know, had numerous lawsuits against it.
And who is doing the persecuting?
You know, like Tip Gore and right-wing groups.
Okay.
And it's a consistent thing, so it's not just a black thing. And, one thing she said was, well, if it was white women, you know, they were talking about, not black women, you'd feel different about it. But there's like I can mention a group called the Mentors, who have songs like the 4F Club, Finder, Feeler.
Uh-huh, yeah, okay, I get the idea, and I don't doubt that's out there.
Blanker, Forgetter.
Right.
You know, they just didn't get prosecuted, because they weren't as big. Another thing is that she'll say, like, why isn't Public Enemy, you know, getting the play? They get plenty of play. They get plenty of airplay. My music doesn't get any play. You know, the death metal thrash, you know, you don't play it, you're just talking about it, you'd rather play the rap.
Right. Well, I would say, you know, a lot of the college stations play that. If you're looking for a place that plays it, a lot of college stations have death metal and speed shows.
Yeah, not good ones, though.
Well, yeah, well.
And MTV only plays at like 3 o'clock on Saturday night.
MTV doesn't play anything, as far as I'm concerned.
And they play more rap than...
But you see, what she was referring to, this, I mean, I don't know what Public Enemy you hear on commercial radio stations, but you don't hear a lot of the stuff because a lot of the stuff is just too controversial, you know, and the same reason you don't hear your stuff. there's a lot that you don't hear, and there's a lot that you keep hearing over and over again. You know, you hear the same songs on 50 different stations, and it's, you know, who makes these rules?
Yeah. Well, I just want to get into her more. She's going on, like, about how it's interesting how they're promoting it, and, you know, it's clear that she thinks that the white man is promoting this music and promoting Two Live Crew because it glorifies the brutality against black women. And then she's wondering why they don't promote Public Enemy. We're not promoting Two Live Crew. We're persecuting Two Live Crew. So once we start to persecute Public Enemy, she's saying, why is the white man persecuting these young men who want to do these positive things for our community? So you can't win with a person like that.
Well, I think we should also stop thinking about it as an us versus them kind of thing, because what it boils down to is we're all, you know, individual people here, and we've got our rights to listen to what we want to listen to. And if somebody goes against Two Live Crew, or somebody goes against one of your bands or one of us, you know, it's an offense against everybody, and that's the point I'm trying to make here tonight.
I'm trying to, like, straighten that up.
Uh-huh. But don't think of it as a white versus black thing. Okay, that's a little bit of death speed and thrash there for you. Good morning. Go ahead.
Amigo.
Huh? Good morning.
How you doing?
Okay.
I wanted to tell you my daughter went to a rap concert a while back, and she had a knife put to her throat and all her jewelry taken. And the day I let her go back to another one of those things is the day Diana Ross plays Central Park. Thank you.
Well, are you still there? Okay, Mr. Closed-minded person who could not even stay on the phone to listen to me. God. Okay, well, I suppose you're also not going to let your daughter go to a coliseum, because the day you let your daughter go to a coliseum, somebody held a knife up to her throat, right? It's those coliseums. Give me a break. It's that kind of attitude that leads to censorship. It's got nothing to do with rap music. It's got nothing to do with race or anything like that. It's, you know, this is a situation that happens in uncontrolled environments. And if a crime occurs, that's something that has to be dealt with on an individual level. But you don't condemn an entire musical style because of that. Or you don't condemn an entire class of people or entire race of people or entire anything. It's all this generalization. That's what's getting us into trouble. Okay, let's take a couple more calls here. We are rapidly running out of time. Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
I wanted to say that I certainly agree with that Two Live Crew should not be found guilty of anything. Obviously, I believe in their freedom of speech. I would like for much more of the content of their music to be discussed when the issue of Two Live Crew comes up. I mean, I agree with some of the other caller who said that the more important issue is not freedom of speech. I mean, you know, I think most progressive people can agree with that. The more important issue is the misogyny, is the brutality of women.
Yes, very much so. And the way you're approaching it is the right way to approach it. You don't say, we're going to ban this. You say, we're going to talk about this. We're going to see why this kind of music is popular among certain people, and we're going to figure this out. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine the audience of Saturday Night Live breaking into cheers that the Ku Klux Klan had been given the freedom to march. And I'm not saying that that audience wouldn't agree with Ku Klux Klan's freedom to march. I'm just saying that their consciousness is so totally raised about the Ku Klux Klan that you know it's scum, and you have to let it be because this is the U.S. Whereas Two Live Crew, there are a lot of people who think, well, hey, it's just sex. It's just dirty words. That's what's upsetting people. And I don't think that's it. It's not dirty words. It's violence. It's rape. It's treating women as discardable.
You know, it's interesting what you're saying here. You're right. I had not heard that even mentioned in the newspapers. It was basically the lyrics, the simulated sex, that kind of thing. It wasn't what they were saying, how they felt towards women. That was never brought up, and you have to wonder why that was never brought up. That's the real issue.
Exactly, because there are many songs out there that are very sensual, very erotic, and very wonderful about mutually consenting, exciting sex. That's not what these songs are about. These
right.
songs are about rape. And I was also thinking of the decision that just came down in Oregon, where the white supremacist group has been ordered to pay $12 million to the family of the Ethiopian man that was murdered by members of this white supremacist group. Now the leader of the group is being blamed, saying, "You incited this murder." And I'm wondering if we would ever see a case where a woman who was raped would be able to claim that Two Live Crew's music had incited someone to rape.
Well, I think you've just given us the topic for the sequel to this show, but I want to thank you for calling. We are out of time. And thanks to all those other people that were calling fruitlessly. Stay tuned. Bob Fast might be taking calls later. It's 12:58. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. I'm filling in for Andrew Phillips. And we're going to leave you with one more thing from Crispin Healy and Glover. Non-controversial song about nice, friendly things like smiling clowns and all that. Yeah. We'll see you again soon, but keep on thinking about these things because they are important. WBAI New York.
I was walking on the ground, I didn't make a sound. Then I turned around and I saw a clown. Had a frown, stood on a mound, started barking like a hound. When I came to it, I found he showed me something that was brown. So he became great friends, and late in life, he got sick. I gave him some soup, but he got worse, and asked for his purse. It got it, but it was empty, so it cried aplenty. I wondered what to do. I didn't know what to think, so I got a drink. And then I showed it something that was round. Then it died, smiled, fell on the ground. Thinking back about those days with the clown, I get teary-eyed and really snide. But deep down, I hated that clown, but not as much as Mr. Farr. I'm gonna go smoke a cigar. I was walking on the ground, I didn't make a sound, and then I turned around, I saw a clown. I hate you, clown. Your ugly frown, smiley lips. I think I'll clip you across the nose, clown. Smoke a cigar. I'll get you real far. Like Mr. Farr. Get it? Mr. Farr. Clown. Clown. See what a cigar will do? Clown. Ugly clown.
And as the passing parade fades off into the distance, this is WBAI in New York City.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.